Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Welcome, everybody, back to In the Open with Teresa and America.
Hi, everyone.
We are going to talk about the topic, I'm so critical of myself, which is kind of a topic we talked about in I hate myself and I hate my body. But I feel like self-criticism takes on a special or different kind of behavior, right? Than how I hate myself.
I think you can definitely be more critical of yourself across so many different areas of our life that it's sometimes hard to, there is a distinction, right? Like, you may not like your body, but it's very different than you thinking I suck at X thing.
So is that what your self-criticism sounds like?
Sometimes it sounds like that. Sometimes it's like, oh my God, why did you say that? Or, you know, I have a very low filter on the things that I say. So sometimes I have to be very, very thoughtful about the, you know, the things that are coming out of my mouth. And so sometimes I feel like I say stupid things, and that's in kind of vein, right? Like, When I feel maybe I don't know enough and I'm just like, oh my God, stop talking. You sound like a dumbass.
Yeah.
You sound stupid.
When Kelly and I talked about I hate myself, I feel like so much of where that space comes from inside of my head is about self-hatred. It feels deeper, you know? It reminds me a lot of the hurt that you bring from the past and the way that affects the way you see yourself, which is related to why I'm also critical of myself. But my self-critical voice also is just like a naggy, mean voice. That's not necessarily when I have self-hatred. It's when I'm picking on myself.
Yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. And where I think a lot of people go to is, you know, like, let's say your friend is saying something like, oh my God, I look horrible in this picture, right? And you don't see that. You see something completely different, but you can only go so far. Like, you as a person in the picture, it's like, nope, this thing should be better. This thing should be better. Oh my God, why did I do my hair that way or whatever? But on the other side of it, you know, our friends and people around us, they show us a lot of compassion oftentimes, and we don't turn that inwards. You know, it's very hard to have compassion for yourself.
Yeah.
Because of the self-criticism, and most often it is a naggy kind of interaction, I would say, that it just kind of starts like, you know, a little drop at a time. It's like, yeah. Oh, you thought you were good at that? Oh, look. Nope. No. You messed up, you know? It's like, ugh.
It feels more like a bad habit that I get into than it is tapping into whether or not I like myself or love myself. Like, because the criticism feels like a bad habit where, you know, when you see something you don't like or you just get judgy. Like, we're all judgy. Let's be honest. Everybody is judgy, right?
Yeah.
But we're the most judgy of ourselves. So if you see something that you don't like, it's really easy to go there in your brain and pick at and ruminate. Like, ruminate is just like stick on that thing for a long time. And I think we do that the worst to ourselves. Well, unless you're judgy and you just do that to other people.
But when you call it a habit, you know, a habit you pick up, like anything that we do on a regular basis. So I can understand that it can become a habit because you're so used to having it present in your kind of functioning. But
that's true, though. Then I did pick it up, especially from stupid things people tell you in your life.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I hyper-focus on the most because they probably started the youngest, you know? Like,
yeah. I would imagine that that's the case.
Like, I don't have a neck. Like, my mouth moves, and our chin, it just moves. I feel like my face just moves automatically to my neck like a lizard. And I used to get made fun of a lot, or I like really focused on my kids' pictures when I was little. about how dopey my pictures were.
But you're tapping into something that one of the things, if you remember when we had a conversation with Matt about, you know, hating your body, what came across is that a lot of those hurts that we had when we were younger really continue to be part of our current functioning because they were so damaging. That's why I think it's really important to be very cautious about the words that you're using, especially with children, because they pick up on those things and you don't want them to have a habit of completely being stuck on the idea that, like, oh, look, you drew a pretty picture. You know, you could have done it better if you drew within the lines. You know, it's like, thanks. So it's criticism, I think, that you pick up from others and then you internalize. It definitely is.
Yeah. Criticisms feel like they are especially sticky in our minds, or at least mine, when it taps into some kind of insecurity.
And I kind of chalk that up to, like, the imposter syndrome of, like, you may not necessarily know that this is how you feel, but in the moments that are most clear to you, it is that little monster that is poking at that insecurity and is like, oh, you thought that you were good at this? No.
Is that what your voice sounds like?
Sometimes, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I sometimes make the different voices because I guess that's what I hear.
Is he that much of a jerk? Damn.
Yeah, he can be.
That's what he says to you. Be. Oh, you think you're so special.
It's like, yeah, really? No.
Huh.
Like, I've been watching The Good Place. I don't know if you watch that show.
I do. I love The Good Place.
Yeah. And, you know, she's like, you're basic. And then, you know, it really is this idea, like, it starts tapping into, you know, like, they're in a swamp, like, those negative, knee-deep emotions that you just don't like to think about, but they are there because they've come from somewhere. So it's important to kind of try to figure out where they come from.
Yeah,
I think.
See, the swamp, deep things, those contribute to my negative voice that lends to I hate myself. But in my head, I also have these other kinds of voices, the critical voices. They don't feel swampy. They feel like little flies, you know? I'm living in the swamp and this is the swamp where I hate myself, but I'm also swatting at flies constantly that fly in my face. And I'm just like,
give me an example.
So mine doesn't sound like yours. Yours sounds mean. Mine is like, it just feels like little jabs. Like, I'll look at myself and it's just like, oh, a real passing quick thought. Like, oh, I look so ugly. Oh, that face is stupid. Oh, there's your double chin. Oh, you don't talk right. You know, whatever. And it's just, and it's not a wallowing feeling, which I think that,
yeah,
like,
it's just kind of fast and instant.
Yeah, like flies, like swatting out gnats or whatever. And it's hard because, like, when I'm feeling so sad and I'm in that place where I hate myself, at least it's so hardcore that I can recognize, whoa, you know, you're going to that bad space. But with, like, the everyday criticism that feels like little gnats, I don't think I paid as much attention to the way that I do that. It's probably a bad thing.
Wouldn't you say that it's worse? The things that you're thinking about, like those little nagging little flies of thoughts.
Yeah.
I have them as well. I sometimes will say something stupid. And I guess it maybe, I don't know if it's a woman thing or not. Since I'm a woman, that's the only perspective that I can bring to it, right? Where I'm just like, what did you do with your hair? Why did you try that? And immediately, you know, either so it's another little, like, fly that's like, hey, I'm going to punch that little other fly and be like, stop feeling like that.
Yeah.
Move on.
I do wonder. Do women do this more often because we are taught to, we have to ask a man, you know, but, like, I do have to think about the way I look, the way I present, the right space that I'm taking up. Like, am I getting in people's way? And do I sound dumb? And is that part of the why people don't respect you? Or, you know, so
yeah,
that makes it even more complicated.
I would imagine that it would be important to have a conversation with a man around these issues because, you know, when we spoke to Matt, he shared that he had those kind of thoughts going through his mind all the time. So I would imagine that there are similarities, but I think there are also differences where we as women are supposed to be, like, in quotes, right, a certain way, or carry ourselves a certain way. The same applies for a man in many instances. And then when you even think broader than that, for folks that may identify within the, like, LGBTQ plus spectrum, or, you know, have really taken time to think about their existence and their place in society and the impacts that all of that has, that's different, you know?
Yeah.
I was listening to this article on NPR this morning. I can't listen to an article. I was listening to the radio this morning, and they were talking about this woman who is doing a project around women and safety. And, you know, one of the things that she spoke about was the fact that oftentimes women get followed on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately we came to mind is, well, if I was walking down the street and I was a Black man or a Spanish man, and I was, like, in a white neighborhood, yeah, people would probably call somebody saying something. But as a woman, I may not necessarily have that same reaction, right? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting how we're thinking about all those little criticisms that we may have, but I think it also highlights some of the aspects of our identities that are just ingrained in our thought processes,
yeah,
that we have to always kind of combat.
That is interesting, because we focus so much on mental health as a trauma narrative or story where we're critical or hateful of ourselves because some hurt in the past, but it gets all mixed in with society. And you're right, people who look different or feel different, that's part of that path of becoming self-critical. That's really hard to tackle or, like, make sense of, because it's so pervasive, which is just,
right,
it's so everywhere and it lasts for so long. And it's hard to figure out that normal, not normal question, right? Like,
right.
Should I care about how I look? Because caring about how I look is caring about self-care. And you've been told your whole life you need to, like, shower and try to look good and presentable. And where's that line, you know, where, oh, I'm not just self-critical or showering. It's like, oh no, I'm constantly going to nitpick my face. Maybe that's why it has so much to do with the way we look. Because our look is the easiest thing a person can look at us, and or you look at someone else, and it's the first thing you, right, can judge.
And you make a judgment. Yeah.
Or the sound of your voice. Or what else are we all hypercritical of? The things we say.
The things we say, the abilities and skills that we may have. You know, some people have an ability to tap into, like, their skill set fairly easily. And where for some people, it might be, like, super hard for you to get in front of people and, like, have a training or do something like that. Others may feel very comfortable in that space. So, and that's one of the areas that a lot of people struggle with, like, when you get up and have to speak in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a skill, I think, that's learned over time, but that never takes away the fact that even when I do this today, I'm just kind of like, did what you just say make sense? Because what I heard him, you know, didn't make sense. And people are like, oh, yeah, it totally made sense. So it is a lot about, really, I think, the physicality of who we are, because it's an immediate reaction that you're going to have. But then it's also the internal things that you think people care about, but they may not necessarily care about at all.
Yeah. So in I Hate Myself, or in Matt's I Hate My Body, we talked about learning to love yourself as a huge first step and not feeling that way anymore. But I feel the strategies of being self-critical are different. Like, how do you break the habit of the constant naggy voice in your head? What do you do?
I don't think I've mastered anything yet.
Okay, I'll tell you mine and then you'll see.
Okay.
Honestly, the strategy that works for me for not being critical is to be critical. But it's to be critical of my criticism. So I have to practice catching myself and being like, stop it, stupid.
Okay. Got it.
And being able to tell the differences between the kinds of thoughts that I have, whether they're self-helpful, self-hateful thoughts, which if I have those thoughts, I have to really ask myself, okay, why am I getting to this negative space? What is it tapping into some deep hurt? Versus the habit of being so self-critical. It's like catching yourself when I do it and basically say what you said, which is stop it. Nobody notices your stupid zit. Nobody thinks about you. You're not that important, you know, and remind myself like nobody cares about you. You're not that important. It is not self-love. It's a more productive self-criticism.
I wouldn't say that it's a productive self-criticism. I would say, and you're using language that you're comfortable with, because I do the same thing. I mean, I'd say that to myself all the time, like, America, you're such an idiot. Stop it. And I think that idea of continuously trying to capture the moment when you are getting into that phase that you have to say, stop. All the things that you're saying, nobody's worried about whatever it is that's happening, the shoes that you're wearing, the bag that you're carrying, the fact that you walked in the opposite direction when you were supposed to go in the other direction, nothing. You know, nobody's paying that much attention to you.
That was the one phrase that helped me the most, because when you're anxious.
Stop it, stupid.
No, nobody cares.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you're anxious, you feel like everybody is paying attention. But you realize, yeah, of course, nobody gives a crap about you. Which is also,
they have their own crap going on.
Like a real easy to accept thing, because the depression and anxiety are real close together. So it was easy for me to go there in terms of a mind trick to be like, no, remember, no one cares about you. Nobody is noticing you. Because I think if you think that people care, it's hard to fight that feeling that everybody cares and cares to the max.
When we're having these little gnats around us, most often it's internalized. In some instances, I think you can share that with people, like people that are around you, whether you're, you know, at work or with friends or family, whatever, be like, do you think I look stupid in this? You know, or do you like this? And you're wanting their opinion. But that's why I was talking about compassion, where sometimes it's a tool that has to be used, where if somebody were to say or think whatever you're thinking, to that, maybe ask yourself, what would you say if somebody was saying this to themselves?
Oh, that's hard, because you're putting yourself out there.
I know.
In a really vulnerable way. So stop getting into that stupid mind train of self-picking. How do you get yourself to the not caring part, to let it go?
I kind of have to metaphorically slap myself in the head and be like, stop it. And that's, for me, I do that a lot. Stop it.
Okay, you do the same thing.
Yes,
stop it, I do. Stupid.
Yeah, stop it.
Move on. Yeah. I got really obsessed with the Honey Badger video. Remember that?
Yeah, I know you like the Honey Badger. Yes.
Oh, I know. He's my mascot. Because when I was super anxious, it was a reminder of, dude, I want to harness my inner Honey Badger. I want to give zero craps because I give too many craps. So I needed a visual imagery to really knock myself out of the habit by just seeing the Honey Badger. So I just see him in my head and I'm like, be okay. The Honey Badger. Honey Badger gives zero craps. You know, just eat that snake. Just eat that snake. And so, like, as part of talking to myself, if I was also like, don't be stupid, nobody cares about you, I also could just find myself derailing myself by being like, eat the snake. Nobody cares. The Honey Badger takes what it wants. Teresa takes what she wants.
Yeah, Teresa, you definitely have a fascination with the Honey Badger, whereas my mascot is the panda.
What was a panda?
He's so cuddly and just cute.
Oh, are you cuddly and cute?
And no, I think internally I am, but that's, don't tell the rest of the world.
Oh, you want to be cuddly and cute. Our mascots are a vision of what we want to be.
I love pandas. But, you know, what I was talking about earlier about maybe having compassion and then sharing that with somebody else, like these internal criticisms, a lot of people end up using social media to share these internal criticisms now more than ever, because it is about allowing for vulnerability, but also about sharing that we all have these things come up every day, you know, and it can be a constant thing, or, you know, maybe it happens once in a while, but normalizing the fact that this happens, I think, is so important because we don't talk about it enough. We just think, yeah, what's wrong with me that this is what's happening? And nothing is wrong with you. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
Listen to Teresa and I.
You are perfect just the way you are.
That's right. Definitely. Yeah. Look nothing at you with perfect. Positive self-talk. Ah!
All right. I'll try and keep on fighting.
Please. Please do that. Fight in the open, guys. Embrace it.